was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it. The reading, the hearing, the exposition of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, last time I was up here, amen, it's been a few weeks, but we were in the book of Hebrews, and we just kind of going through Hebrews chapter 11. And in chapter 11, amen, it gave us a definition of faith, which was verse 1. And then it went down into the annals of faith, the history of faith. And we started off with Abel, amen, and we've been just moving down, going to Enoch, amen, and hallelujah, now we on Noah. And so we're just going to continue on Noah and hopefully wrap it up tonight. If you remember, as we looked at Noah's faith, we talked about Noah preparing an ark. We talked about it was for the saving of his house. If you remember, we talked about how he condemned the world through his actions, amen, and also his preaching. We talked about that a little bit. And so I'm going to cover this last little part on Noah, which is... It should be righteousness by faith, amen, or an heir of righteousness, however we want to title that, amen, and I'll get with Brent on that. Okay, it's righteousness by faith. And so let's look at that tonight. And as we talk about that, righteousness by faith, we'll have like two sub-points, amen. I'll talk about Noah became, and then we'll look at this sub-point B, by faith, amen. We'll talk a little heavy theology tonight, amen. And then we'll kind of go home, you know, every now and then we talk about like a rhema word and word that's going on in the Hebrews, like as of like right now, where God expects us, where he wants us, amen, how we living, how we moving, amen. But you not only need a rhema word, you need a little bit of theology too, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. So we want to be well balanced in that, amen. We want to know where we're going, but we also want to know where we at, where we came from as well. And so that's a whole word. That's the whole counsel of God, amen. God is just not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today and forevermore. And so his word should encompass all of that. And so we'll get into some theology tonight, amen, and talk a little bit about it. And so for my first subpoint, subpoint A, looking at verse 7, the B part of it, I'm going to talk about briefly Noah became. Somebody say Noah became. And it's just, and it's at the bottom of the verse, and Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. As we look at that word or that phrase, Noah became, amen, to become something, amen, or that word became, amen, it means to come into being. It means to come into existence. Noah became is something that was not before, but it happens now. All right? It becomes something. It became something. All right? So when it says that Noah became, we're talking about something that Noah wasn't before. Are you with me here so far? All right? We're talking about something that he wasn't born with. Something that he didn't wake up with. Amen? A lot of us think about Noah, amen, and we think that Noah was always right. Noah wasn't always right. And we get a snapshot of Noah's fallen nature after the flood when he messed around by them grapes too long. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right? Noah became an heir of righteousness. He always wasn't an heir of righteousness. He always didn't live the blameless life, the right life. He always wasn't Noah. Anybody hear me up in here? When we get up there, amen, Noah gonna have a testimony like we all got a testimony, amen? A before Christ and a after dominion. All of us have it. Noah had it. All right? All right? And we all have it. You say, what you saying, Pastor? Well, there was a time when Noah and his family wasn't living for God. How could you say that, Pastor? Well, by this phrase, Noah became. But also just by our theology of man, amen, that every man, woman, and child from Adam is born in sin. Noah was born in sin. Noah was not only born in sin, he was shapen in what? In iniquity. Amen. Noah, amen, born in sin, shaping in iniquity, amen. You need to know, theologically speaking, there was a time when Noah was dead in his trespasses. All right? Dead in his trespasses. Under the power of sin, under the guilt of sin, like every single man, woman, child born, that's a descendant of Adam. Anybody hear me up in here? What I'm talking about is this concept, this theology by which we call original sin. Somebody say original sin. Original sin is simple. It's simple. It means that when Adam fell, every single one of us fell with him. Original sin. This means that, amen, when you come out the womb, you already got a mark against you. You are born in sin. All right? All right? This is taken from Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 12. Amen. It's not a theology that's rooted in men's tradition, but it's actually based upon biblical doctrine. In Romans 5, amen, verse 12, it tells us, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Are you getting that? By one man, that's Adam, amen, he opened the door for sin to come into the world. But not only sin, sin and what? Sin and death, all right? So every man, woman, and child born from Adam's lineage was tainted, was corrupted, was stained with sin as soon as they come out of their mama's womb. Everybody had a mark against them. Somebody say original sin. As we look at 5:19, it corroborates it. Look what it says. For as by one man's disobedience, watch this, many were made sinners. Many were made sinners. You see that right there? One man's disobedience. Now, some of y'all will say, Pastor, that don't sound fair. That's Adam did that. I didn't do that. Wait until you hear the whole story before you talk about fairness. All right? Because he's going to do something else that's not particularly fair, but it's going to be to the saving of our souls. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen? So original sin is this. Adam's guilt has been imputed upon every man, woman, and child. Whether you've done right or wrong, you come out with a mark against you. You come out in sin. That's original sin, you see? Look at, amen, we already looked at 5:19. But this doctrine, amen, what I'm teaching you is what's called federal theology. Federal theology. Somebody say federal theology. All right. The word federal is a simple word. All right. The word federal is when many parts come together as one. Many parts, many people, many things come together as one. All right. The American government is known as the federal government. Many states, many cities, many people coming together as what? One. That's federal. All right? That's federal. Okay? Federal theology. Many coming together as one. Now, in federal theology, you have something called federal headship. All right? Many come together as one, but we elect one head to represent all. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So you got federal theology, but you got federal headship. Say it with me. Federal headship. That when we all come together, we anoint, we appoint, we elect somebody to represent us all. What they say represent what we believe. How they act represents the way we act. What they signed represents an agreement that we made. Yeah. Unfortunately, the federal head of our government, amen, is, oh God, but you know what I'm saying, is the president of the United States. That's the federal head of America. All right? He's one representing many. All right? In this doctrine of original sin, you need to understand, amen, that mankind was federal in the garden. Mankind was many, but represented by one. Adam was a federal head. Adam was as though the president, not of America, of mankind. All right? So through representation, federal representation, Adam represented us in the garden. Everything he said was a representative of us. And unfortunately, what he did was a representative of us as well. In Adam, we all fell, y'all, because of his federal headship. Are we understanding that? All right, you have that. That's original sin. That's federal headship. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, amen, that glory be to God, Adam is not the only federal head that God raised up. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Oh, yeah, Zion. Oh, yeah. God raised up another federal head. And we call him Yahshua. We call him Jesus. Others call him Jesus. He is our Messiah, and he is another federal head. Watch this, Brian. That's why he's calling the Bible the second Adam. Anybody hear me up in here? He's either called the second Adam or the last Adam. And both are true. Like the first Adam, he is a representative. He's a federal head. All right? He's the last Adam because after him ain't no more representatives of mankind. Are you with me? All right? Because not anybody could be a federal head. All right? To be a federal head, oh, watch this now, watch this. To be a federal head of mankind, you cannot be under the lineage of Adam. Are you with me here so far? Adam has a lineage of people that he represents. Before Christ, it was all mankind. All right? That's why the devil knew he won in the garden, because he knocked down our federal head, thereby knocking all of us down. Amen. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory. The wages of sin is death. Amen. We was all bound. We was all chained. We was all on our way to hell, because where the head go, the body go. And Adam fell, so we all fell with him. In Adam, all fall. But God raised up a man who was not in Adam. Oh, God, have mercy. Every man, woman, and child born with an earthly father is in the Adamic lineage, is in the Adamic tree. All right? But God, from the very beginning, knew that he would break the cycle, break the mold, break. He would throw a curveball at the devil. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So even in the garden, he set the devil up. He dropped the devil a hint in the Garden of Eden. He look at Eve and he say, Eve, he said, your seed, the seed of a woman, is going to crush the head of the serpent. It's kind of crazy, because a woman don't have seed, she have eggs. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. And I knew it throw the devil for a curve. He said, man, God must have got that wrong. But God was talking about a man who would come, who would have no earthly father, but would have a heavenly father. A man that would come, that would be both the Son of Man, watch this, great, and also the Son of the Most High God. Are you with me here so far? That's why he's called the second Adam. See, because God made a man in the garden. That was the first Adam. He made a man in the womb of Mary. That was the second Adam. Now we got two federal heads, y'all. And you get to choose which one you want to be a part of. Woo! The fallen, condemned, sin-filled, guilt-filled, corrupted line of the Adamic nature, or the new, redeemed, saved, born again, Holy Ghost-filled, heaven-bound, seed line from our Messiah. Come on, give Yah some glory in this house. Amen. Oh, no, Noah wasn't always saved. Noah was born in sin like us all. Oh, yeah. Noah was born under the first Adam like us all. You see? But thanks be to God, Noah switched his federal headship. Amen. And we got an opportunity to switch ours as well. You see? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, y'all done got me excited, amen? I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And Brent, I may need more verses than 45. Let's see if we can get. But just to start on 45, he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Remember, God breathed in him and made him a living soul? But watch this. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit. The first Adam, he was blessed because he was alive. The second Adam is more blessed because not only is he alive, he can give life. He can quicken life. He can make dead souls alive. That's what that quickening spirit means. It means that he can give life. All right? The second Adam is like, hallelujah, those electrical things that they put on people's chests when they want to wake them up from the dead. That's the second Adam. Hallelujah. He gives life. You see? Now watch this. We're going to go back. Let's see. Let me see. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. Look at 47. Brent, you got that? All right. Awesome. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You see that? 48. As in the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. What he's saying is, whichever lineage you under, that's how you're going to act. If you're under Adam's lineage, you're going to act earthy, fleshly, carnal. If you're under Jesus' lineage, you're going to act heavenly, godly, full of the Holy Ghost. 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we look like Adam before we were saved. After we get saved, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one, y'all. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Holy Ghost say, take your time, Pastor. I'm going to take my time. Look at Romans 5 and 14 again. Watch this. Romans 5, 14 again. We got two Adams, y'all. Two federal heads, two representatives of man by which we have to choose which one we want to be under. He says, 5:14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. It didn't even matter if you ate the fruit. It didn't matter. Death still was going to reign. All right? Who is the figure of him that was to come? He's saying Adam, being a federal head, was a figure, a type of another federal head that was to come. He says let's see here. Look at 18, all right, 5:18. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Watch this. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto what? Justification. This is good. In the first federal headship, you get some things from Adam. Some things that you had nothing to do with. You get guilt, you get condemnation, and if you ain't careful, you're going to get hell. You understand what I'm saying? And that's imputed on you, John. You ain't had nothing to do with it. You wasn't in that garden, but he represented you there, and so you get what your representation gives. All right? But the beauty of that is, that's why I told you, don't say it's not fair. Because the beauty of that is when you're in Christ's lineage, woo, when you're under his federal headship, you get some things as well. You see, under Adam, you got what Adam gave you. Under Christ, you get what Christ gave you. He imputes upon you not sin, but righteousness. Not judgment, but redemption. Not hell, but heaven. Not curses, but blessings. Not trouble and strife, but joy and peace. That's what we get to Christ. And Malvin, we had nothing to do with it. We wasn't even there at the cross. But our federal head was there. Our federal head did all the work for us. That's why you don't come here and say, original sin is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Because the righteousness through Christ is right. Come on, give y'all some glory. I hope y'all hearing me up in here. You see? And that's what it is. It says in 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, y'all. But watch this. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Come on, give y'all some glory. That's the federal headship theology, man. That's the federal headship theology. And you want to be under Christ. You want to be under Christ. I have in my notes, how did Jesus do this? How did he do it? How did he manage to pull us out from the Adamic lineage, the Adamic tree. He did it through the cross. He did it through the cross. You see, in between the two lineages, Adam and Christ, they had to have been a bridge, y'all. You can't cross over from Adam to Jesus for free. You see? Because before they let you out of the family tree of Adam, a payment got to be made. You see, the wages of sin is death. And you a sinner and you under original sin, and you can't just cross over to Christ until your debt is paid for. Anybody hear me up in here? That payment came through the cross of Calvary, Joseph Gray. It came through the cross of Calvary. You see, you saying here, yeah, I want to get under Jesus. But you can't get under Jesus without accepting Calvary's cross. Anybody hear me up in here? That cross pays for the transition. That cross pays for the adoption. All right? Listen, let me tell you something. A lot of people want to adopt. You know, adoption ain't free. Adoption is expensive. And a lot of people want to adopt, amen, but they can't pay. Listen, in order for the father to be able to adopt you, he had to pay an adoption fee. And he paid it at the cross. All right? So the cross accomplishes this transfer from the Adamic line to the Messianic line. It accomplishes that. All right? All right? Because it paid our debt. But it don't stop there. It don't stop there. You see, to get in the Adamic line, you had to be born in the Adamic line. Oh, God have mercy. To get in Yahshua line, you got to be born to get in that line too. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God. You see, you can't just be in somebody's family. You got to be born to be in that family tree. When he met Nicodemus, surely he said, Nicodemus, you know all this stuff like that. He said, Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. Oh, God have mercy. I got two birthdays, y'all. My first birthday in 1976, oh goodness, my first birthday represents my birth in the Adamic line. But I got a second birthday. I got a second birthday when I was born again in the line of Yahshua HaMashiach. How many people got a second birthday up in here? You understand what I'm saying? Where I was born again. You see, you must be born again. There has to be a line of demarcation. The old you and the new you. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't look at your life and say, I was lost, I was a sinner, I was going to bust hell wide open, then 9 times out of 10, you're not saved yet. You see, you're not saved yet. If you come to me, I always been a good person. I always did what was right. I was a nun. I was raised in Catholic school. You ain't ready yet. The testimony that every single believer have to have is I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If you don't have that testimony, you're not born again. Oh, God have mercy. Are you hearing me up in here? Got a lot of people in church not saved, y'all. They not saved. They in church, but they ain't born again. You got to be born again. You see what I'm saying? See, Deacon, I could look back on my life and see an old Omar and a new Omar. A lost Omar and a found Omar. A blind Omar and a seeing Omar. A hearing Omar. A preaching Omar. Can you see that in your life? If you can't see that, then you ain't got it yet. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to get it. And every testimony is going to be different, yeah. See, some of these first generation Christians, our testimony is going to be a little more rugged than y'all. But nonetheless, even if you was raised in the church, you still can have a testimony. Sure, you wasn't like the first generationers. You wasn't on the street. You wasn't. I understand that. But your heart was still wicked. You were still full of this and full of that. You might have played the part on the outside with your church dress on, but Lord, in your heart, woo, you wasn't dressing no church dress in your heart. Are you hearing me up in here? So even if you're second generation Christian, there is still a dividing line where you feel a heart change happen. Where you go from not wanting God, just coming here because somebody made you here, they drug you to church, to where something changing and you want to be in church. You want to praise God. You want to shout during worship. You stop looking at everybody else shouting and you start shouting yourself because you know what God done did for you. Oh God, Brian, that's what you were talking about Sunday when it becomes personal. You see, same way you was born in Adam's line, you got to be born in the line of our Messiah. You got to be born under his federal headship. You see what I'm saying? And that cross, we look at that cross, we see death when we look at that cross. But the cross is a birthplace. See, I not only have a new birthday, but I also have a new place of birth. Oh, God. I was born first time in Lafayette, Louisiana. But my second birth was at Calvary's Hill. I was born at a hill called Golgotha. Listen to me now. We look at it as dead, but it's a birthplace, Tree. And when you're born in the natural, two things happen. Blood and water. At that cross, he shed his blood for me. And when they pierced him in the side, water came out. The cross is not just a place of death. It's a place of birthing. It's a birthing table. He gave birth to us there. He gave birth to us there. He gave birth to us there. Every single believer in here. And just like a natural birth, amen, it was a lot of pain and suffering. Woo! A lot of pain and suffering. A lot of shame. Amen. Just like your mama's in here was on that burden table hollering, push, push. Struggling. Straining. So Yahshua HaMashiach pushed, struggled, strained, bled, hung, died, suffered. Amen. To give birth to every single one of us. I got a new birth date. I got a new birthplace. And Calvary is where I'm from. Woo! I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. It's the federal headship, man. It's the federal headship. And he did it all through Calvary, man. Noah wasn't born right. Noah was born in sin, man. And Noah needed a second Adam. Now, the deep thing about this, watch this, Malvo. Listen, those that was born before Christ, Adam and Noah and David, them, amen, they believed the scriptures that God would send a federal head. That faith looking forward was enough to save them. Oh, God. Woo. See, faith operates both ways. Faith is for the future. Faith is also for the past. You understand what I'm saying? See, right now we look back and we believe that God sent us a federal head. Back then, they look forward and believe. You see, David was prophesying about Christ long before. He said, thou shalt not let my soul be in hell. Not let my soul suffer in hell. David was prophesying. Isaiah was prophesying that a redeemer would come. That's why they was waiting on him, Kip. That's why they was waiting on him. They was all waiting for him. The woman at the well said, when Messiah come, they was all waiting on him. Their faith was going forward. Oh, God, I'm passing up my lesson, y'all. I'm passing up my lesson.
That's all right. It's good.
Sometimes you just got to let it go when it's going. You just got to let it go. Just, you see, you did it through the cross, man. That's my birthplace, man. Did it to the cross. So when we look at Hebrews 7, it tells us, it says that Noah became an heir of righteousness. He wasn't born that way. He became an heir of righteousness. And watch this. And it says he did it by faith. All right? The Spirit was going there already, so I might as well just get on the point now. By faith. All right? All right? Noah, like I was telling you, got this righteousness through faith. All right? He was looking forward. Not only looking forward to the Messiah, but he was believing God at every turn. You know? People can get confused when they look at Noah's life, y'all. Just like you can get confused by looking at a man of God or a woman of God life. You can get confused because you think that the righteousness, the good works that you see in the men and women of God around you, you think that those good works make them saved. If you got a godly mom, a godly daddy, somebody you know that's doing good, you're like, man, of course they're going to heaven. Look how much good they do. Be careful. Like Noah, we become heirs of righteousness not by our works, but by our faith. Are you with me here so far? All right? And what you need to understand when you see somebody that do good, that live for God, number one, understand that they always wasn't like that. That what you see today is after God done got his hands on this, and you wouldn't want to know this before God touched this. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Kip, they wouldn't want to know it. They wouldn't want to see it. But we lift man up so much. We lift men and women up so much, and we got this God complex where we start thinking of man above that which is written. Understand, y'all. When you see them living good, the Bible say if it's good, then it's got to be God. Because all things that's good and perfect come from the Father of life. No, 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 no. Noah was good. And listen, we had time, I show you in Genesis. He was a righteous man. He was a blameless man. Look, yeah, let's look at it. Look at Genesis. Genesis 6:9. Go ahead to 6:9 and look at it. Now, watch this. Oh, it's my old Bible. I don't even have Genesis in it. But listen, my Genesis fell out, man. But we was in Hebrews tonight. We was in Hebrews. Watch it. When you know you're working that Bible, Greg, when books start to fall out, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And perfect, you see, in his generations. In his generation. Because ain't nobody perfect. He was righteous. He was just. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. You see, when men compare themselves to men, we look good when we compare each other with one another. I guarantee you they got somebody that you look better than tonight. I guarantee you. Not in the physical, y'all. You're like, yeah. No, not like that. But in the spiritual. They got somebody doing worse than you tonight. All right? But they got some people doing better than you too. All right? But we get in this comparison game where we one right and we one right and another. But to God. Key to God ain't no difference, man. For our righteousness to God is like filthy rag. Ain't no different. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no different. It's like you digging up around the tree in your backyard and you come up on a thing of worms. Do you see any difference between them worms? Now, some one might be longer than the other one. One might be plump, juicy, and we got some plump and juicy worms down here. But listen, a worm is a worm, though. We look good to one another, y'all. And Noah was just, and Noah was perfect in his generations, but in his generations. He's one of the best men of his time, but he was still a sinner. You say, Pastor, why, how you know that? How you know Noah's works didn't get him to heaven? Look at 6:8. And Noah found grace. Oh, Lord, you got it already. You see, if Noah was all that, Noah wouldn't need grace. See, grace is unmerited favor. It's things that God give you that you can't and you don't deserve. So if Noah was all that and perfect, he wouldn't need grace more. But this verse right here tells us that even though it looked like he had all this stuff together, he still needed the grace of God. You see? Who I'm talking to tonight? You look good compared to your sisters and your brothers. You look good compared to your friends and your family. Some of y'all, you know what I'm saying, you never drunk, you never smoke a day in your life. And somehow you think that your good life is going to qualify for you to heaven, for you to heaven tonight. And I'm here to tell you, you're still a sinner. You still have original sin. You're still born under Adam's fallen lineage, Adam's fallen seed. And unless you come and make peace with God through Christ, by faith, you're going to bust hell wide open because there's none righteous, no, not one. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right. Listen, we almost done. I want to talk about this, by faith. All right. Ephesians 2:8 tells us this. It says, it's by grace you say, watch this, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Should boast. All right? The only way grace is activated in our life is through faith. You say by grace, but what? Through what? Through faith. All right? So Noah, y'all, he found grace with God. All right? But Noah not only had grace, he had the requisite faith. He believed God. That's why he ends up in the halls of faith. That's why when we get to glory, he's going to be there. Because God showed him favor, but he believed God. He had faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. It's necessary. You see? Sometimes we look at somebody's life, and we say, man, look at all those good works. Look at all the good things they do. But we have to understand that they only do the good things because of the faith and because of the salvation. And that equals the good works. All right? We can't mix that up. All right? Now watch this. We're about to leave. Pastor, what is faith? They laughing at me, y'all. What is faith? Faith is when you believe something so strong, it changes your life. It changes the way you act and the way you talk. That's faith. See, if you believe in God and you ain't changed, then it's not real faith. If you still the same person, I mean, your mama would say you're the same, your daddy would say you're the same, all your friends, you don't tell me if you changed. Because some of y'all going to be deceiving to thinking you changed and you ain't changed not one bit. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Who could know it? So you're sitting here acting like, oh yeah, I've been changed. You singing it in church and everything. You ain't changed nothing. You still curtain, you still fighting, you still doing everything that you was doing. So a good indication if you have changed is to ask the people who was close to you. The people who really know you, like, am I different, y'all? You go to that wife, you go to that husband, you go to that mom, you go to that sister, you go to that brother. Am I different? And some of y'all ain't going to have to ask if you're different. Because they're going to tell y'all, you changed. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I changed. I'm born again. And I'm praying you change too. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. So faith, man. You see? Now, I'm even winding down even more now. In order to have, because you see, Noah, he became an heir of righteousness by faith. And they got some here tonight, amen. You would tell me, amen, Carlos, you can come on, come. You know, Pastor, I want to have this faith. I want to be an heir of righteousness. I want that change that you're talking about. The old Puritans used to say that true faith was three things. In the Latin, it was notitia, assensus, and fiducia. It was notitia, which means knowledge. You can't believe in somebody you don't know nothing about. How you gonna believe and you don't know? So in order to really believe, you gotta know. That's why the false church that we come into, we say, oh, I believe. They didn't teach us nothing to believe in. So we couldn't have real faith. But when you come to real church and you open your real Bible, you get real knowledge. You get real notitia. And what you know and what you learn is that you're a sinner, but God's Son will save you. He died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. And on the third day, he what? He rose. And if I believe in him and confess him as my Lord and Savior, whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm not fickle in any of this knowledge. I agree with it. That's the ascensus. I agree with it. I not only know it, but I agree with it. I am a sinner. He did come down. He is the second Adam. He did create another family lineage for me to get under. The cross is the way where he pays my debt to set me free. I not only know it, but I agree with it in my soul. And lastly, I trust it. Fiducia, I trust it. You see, because you could know something and agree with it, but if you don't trust it, it's not faith. I told you already about the man with the wheelbarrow going around over Niagara Falls. He asked the crowd, y'all think I can make it with somebody in it? Y'all heard that? The whole crowd said, yeah, we know you can. We done seen you come across that. We believe, we agree. He said, man, get in the wheelbarrow. People say, oh, no. You know it, you agree, but there's no trust. You know Jesus came. You know he died. You know he bled. You know he suffered. You agree he did all that. But have you gotten in the wheelbarrow? Have you trusted him 100% wholeheartedly? Forsaking every other thing that you could trust in. Forsaking your religion, I'm done with it. Forsaking mom and daddy, listen, y'all can't save me. Forsaking my own righteousness, my own good deeds, my sacraments, my Eucharist, I'm forsaking all of that. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That's what trust is. That's what trust is. Spurgeon say on this sinking ship of the world that we are in, the cross is the lifeboat. And I don't care if they got life jackets and all kind of other stuff that people pretending can save me. There's a lifeboat on this sinking ship. And I'm not going to none of these false saviors. I'm jumping in the boat named Jesus. And if he don't save me, nothing will. You understand what I'm saying? This is the trust we are talking about. It is 100%. I'm all in. I'm putting all my weight. If you don't do this, Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. This is the faith in Christ. I have no spare tires, no secondary escapes. I trust in you. Anybody hearing me up in here? Oh, God. Oh, God, please hear me. Please hear me. Please hear me. I've given everything I could tonight to explain in deep theology and also in simplicity what our Savior means to us, y'all. You know? I pray to God that you get it. Amen. Would you stand with me and we'll pray and we'll get out of here. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for being the second Adam. Thank you for coming to see about us. I know, agree, believe, and trust that you died on the cross for all my sins. I have no other Savior, no other way to get the glory. All I have is you. Save me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Save me, Lord. And make me over. I want to be born again. Give me a new birthday and a new birthplace. And bless me in this new life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give y'all some glory in this house. Y'all kind of shocked. Y'all like, it's early. Yeah, I told y'all we're getting out of here. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, and bless you with shalom. Shalom peace. Now y'all go ahead and wish other people shalom. Shalom to your brother. Shalom. 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 Shalom, man. Oh, He won our peace, man. Shalom. Shalom. Blessed and highly favored. Shalom. Shalom.